Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show on Wolf Spirit Radio. Simon actively encourages you to post your questions live to him in the chat room at wolfspiritradio.com/listen. When you ask a question in the chat room, please make sure that you've logged into the chat and go. That's the set name at the bottom. That you have a nickname, and that you ask one question in all caps. That makes it easiest for us to collate. Thank you. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests, and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are on the planet. This is Wolf Spirit Radio, and this is the Connecting Consciousness... Try again. This is the Connect... Simon, you're supposed to be dyslexic. Why have you got such a difficult to pronounce... Connecting Consciousness Show. You whined.
Look, what a wonderful introduction. Hello, JP. I'm to speak to you.
Oh dear. Well, I know, tripped over the intro once again. One day I'll just do it smooth. Maybe I should write it down.
Why don't you go on holiday?
Yeah, I think I need a break. Let's manifest a break for me, shall we? No, I've already done that. I will actually be away in 2 weeks' time for this show, but it will be ably, more than ably, covered by Colleen Kelly, Hagishak Radio herself. Right, okay, so people are trying to call in to the studio, and we're not going to answer your calls. If you want to listen to the show, you have to call in on this number, which is 712-432-9588. That's 712-432-9588. That's for people who listen to the radio in the United States. And that will get you to, you'll be able to hear this conversation live on the air. So, Simon, how are you? It's been 2 weeks. You've had a break. What did you do? Did you break anything?
First of all, I want to thank Wynne Keach for taking my slot.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
That went well, didn't it? So that was really good. I don't think I can remember a time as busy on this planet as the last few weeks have been.
As you've been saying.
Yes. I mean, personally as well. For those who are perhaps not fully aware, obviously I've been trying to push out information regarding the latest situations occurring for the United States and in Germany. And I did an interview with Kerry Cassidy, I think on Thursday night. And I thought it was just going to be sort of 20 minutes or so, but Kerry's a really good interviewer and knows her stuff. So we were nearly pushing the hour and a half. And there was a really loud knock on my office door here, on my room's door. It was really loud. And I heard male voices outside, so I thought, oh, what the hell's this? So I quickly just turned off the Skype, and there were two police officers, and they're very genuine. And they said, we've had a call that you're in trouble. So I said, well, what do you mean you've had a call, I'm in trouble? He said, well, we've had a tip-off that you're in danger. So we've sort of come round very quickly. So I said, well, you know, who's phoning you up thinking it's some sort of joke? And he said, oh, no, this hasn't come from a member of the public. This has come from somewhere else, and we've just come to make sure that everything is all right. So he said, do you mind if I look, you know, we look around the house to make sure there's nobody sort of, you know, sort of hiding, you know, are you under duress or anything like that? And I said, no, not at all. So they left, and I thought, well, it'd probably be a good idea just to vacate the house for a little bit and just, you know, seek alternative accommodation for a couple of days, which I did. But I had people from Connecting Consciousness over, so you know, I had to try and keep in touch with them and try to make some meetings. It wasn't very easy, but did it. I think, looking back at the show, what caused some harm was I talked about Hillary Clinton, and I talked about her having a clone, and the interviewer, Kerry, she was aware of this, and I said, well, but perhaps I can offer you some more news, and it's in relation to the soul that would need to come out of Hillary Clinton and be placed into the clone. Now, I think that, based with some of the very good questions that that Kerry was asking around the situation in America, around the situation in Germany, was probably just a little bit too much for somebody. And as we've always said, at the top of the pyramid, you can divide it into two groups. Those which, or who are supportive and beneficial to humanity, and those which, quite frankly, are complete nut jobs, absolutely off their trolley, as we say here in Great Britain. And I think that somebody who was completely around the twist decided that they'd had enough of me and was going to do something, then the good side heard about that, and the fastest way to respond, of course, is to send a couple of policemen around, because they can come round here in about 2 minutes, because the police station's only around the corner. So I think that that's what was going on there. I think that the benevolent side picked up that the negative side were very angry with what I was saying, and they immediately wanted to make a statement, because the police officers who came to the house were very genuine, and they had no knowledge of anything, just that they'd had this very reliable piece of information and they were told to get around here very quickly. So that's what happened, and I know that it's been a concern for some people who are listening to the show, and then suddenly, of course, it goes quiet, and then I'm coming back on and telling them what's happened. And people have said that they very clearly heard a very loud knock on my door. I mean, that quite surprised me, because nobody knocks on their door, and if anyone does, it's never like that. So that was something. So I want to thank everybody for their concern, their love, and their support. And if you possibly remember, just before I went on my holiday, which has just sank into oblivion, I can't even remember my holiday except right, going to the seaside. I did say that I was going to thank people who have made donations, and that's true. I'm going to be emailing people to thank them. But what I'm going to do, it's a bit naughty, but I don't care. I'm going to thank 10 people, and I'm going to do it every radio show. I'm not going to give the full names, because I need to thank people who have supported me by sending donations, because without your donations, quite frankly, I couldn't do what I do. So I want to thank Daniel, Rodney, Derek, Candice, Alan, DJ, Elisa, Chris, Jennifer, and Juliet. So those are 10 people who have very kindly donated. I will be emailing to say thank you. And next radio show, I'll do another 10, because there are quite a few back and I need to cover it all. So thank you, everybody. It's very difficult when you put yourself out, as I do, and I'm not going to be scared. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to do anything stupid, like, say, here, you know, chop my head off, but I'm not going to run away. I will keep on doing what I'm doing. Clearly, it's upsetting some people. But the good always outweighs the bad. So I'm not disappearing. I'm going to keep on doing the show. As long as people like you, JP, are prepared to get the truth out and interview lots of good people like Wynne and like many others, we have a fighting chance to counterbalance all of the lies and deception that comes out. So that's really what I wanted to say. So, yeah, thanks to everyone. And, yes, I did have a holiday. It was really lovely. The weather was great. I went to the seaside and I'm glad I went when I did. I always knew that it was going to be busy now, so I took the break when I felt it could. I've always thought October was going to be stressful, and people who are regular listeners to the show know that I and others have said October. I think I was wrong. I think it's earlier. It started. I was about 4 weeks out of date there. It started sort of back end of August, beginning of September. But you know what? I don't think 4 weeks is too bad a target to miss.
You know, Simon, it feels a bit like this holiday that I'm going to be doing, much like it's probably going to be a bit of a busman's holiday, because I'm going to the place where the Lyrans landed, and I'm sure there's going to be some interesting adventures going on there.
Oh, you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah. So it's going to be, you know, I know that there's going to be challenges involved, and it's an adventure, and I'm looking forward to it because I haven't been out of the house for a long time.
before we start the show, please. I just want to say that for people in UK, or particularly in the Midlands, I've been asked to speak at a conference.
Yes.
It's the first time this group have put a conference on, and I really wanted to support them. I'm just going to give it a plug, actually. It's on Saturday, the 17th of September. It's the All Saints Centre, number 2, Vicarage Road, King's Heath, Birmingham. And the postcode is B147RA. It's just on for the one day, the Saturday. I'm speaking in the afternoon. Tickets are only £10, so get there in the morning. Have a look round, and hopefully I get a chance to have a chat with you all. So I want to support this conference because the people putting it on, it's their very first one, and I want it to be successful. All right, that's it. Let's get on with the questions, JP.
Good. You're interested in doing small conferences more than large conferences because, you know, people can actually meet you.
No, sure, just let all the police cars go by. Hopefully they won't stop here.
Oh, by the way, I have a jingle for you. Listen to this one. You'll like this one. Yeah, you know, you'll like this one. You remember this one? It was the Top of the Pops. It was the countdown to the number one pop song back in the 60s and 70s when I was listening to it. Alan Freeman.
Freeman.
Yes.
That's right. And wasn't that on at Sunday at 6 o'clock?
Yeah. Yeah. Or was it Saturday or Sunday? I can't remember.
Mm.
Maybe Sunday. It was the chart show, and it was so.
Well, the good news is all the police cars are going by and not stopping.
Oh, that's good. It's like they're chasing someone. Go ahead.
I'll do just conferences. I don't care if there are 10 people there or 200. I will always make time to try to talk to people. So yes, of course. And where it's like a very small conference, then, you know, I'll put the chairs out, literally. I want to support things like that.
Mm-hmm. And, do you have a car or do you take public transport?
I'm going to just stop because the police car's pulled right up outside. The doors are wide open. Two policemen are running this way and the siren's just going on and on.
All right. Leave the camera. Simon's just going to check what's going on. This should be fun. Yeah, well, maybe I should put a bit of, yeah, so by the way, while we're listening to the police sirens outside Simon's house, if you want to ask a question, people are posting questions in the chat room. You could actually go to wolfspiritradio.com/listen, and there is a link that says ask question right at the top of the page, just beneath the word where it says ready to learn the truth. Just below that it says ask question. You click that and then it will go into a nice ordered list that I can ask Simon nice and sequentially. So there's no randomness and there's no contention, which is the big problem. So, yes, and where are we? What else have we got? I hope that's Simon coming back. This is quite good. Colin's suggesting that Simon has a stash of donuts that is drawing them there like magnets. So let's see. It's all very. Can we hear anything? Well. Wow, very interesting. Maybe I'll put a little piece of music on. Here is, where is it? I have the, all right. Oh, I was going to play that later. There's a song that I wanted to play. Oh, look, here's a nice little thing. This is my version of the Nocien. Okay, we're back. That was my version of the Nocien while we were listening. So, Simon. Nice breath.
Right, very interesting. Right outside the back door almost is sort of the back door leads to a lane, which leads onto a road, and a car has been rammed by a police van, deliberately, right outside the back door, as it were, and three other police vans are rammed into it, sandwiched it, and then they were fighting with a guy probably about 30 feet from my door. So...
Oh my God.
I have no idea what that is. So I knew
right,
it was
so you want to take your breath for a minute.
No, it's fine. Yeah. It's just a physical thing.
No.
The soul is fine. It was, the siren was going, you see, and you know.
I heard it like got closer and closer and,
No. It's when the doors of the police vehicle open and the cops jump out and the siren's still left going. So I knew. That was really odd because it's right outside and the siren's just going and going. So they're fighting with this person just as literally just 30 feet from my door. And as I say, they've rammed it right off the road. And this could be absolutely nothing, absolute coincidence, or it could be something following on from when those police officers, turned up on Thursday night to say, am I all right? Anyway,
I wonder if it's a black ops operative that they've just made a big to-do arresting. That would be funny, wouldn't it?
I don't know, but
it'd be very. What was that, Jason Bourne? But they'd all be dead by now. Anyway,
the thing is that like I was just saying before we got interrupted that you know it you can't live in fear, but you have to be aware of what's happening. It's very important. You know, so there we go. That's it. Let's crack on. Let's have some questions.
It says, where do you live, the Bronx? That's
it feels like that. You know, this place has got the lowest crime rate till I lived here.
Till you moved in. There goes the neighbourhood. Meanwhile, let's go to the nice, calm, safe database of questions where questions are rolling in perfectly in time. So... our first question from Silver Lightning. There we go. Silver Lightning. Parallel existence and the AI. Oh, nice chewy question to start with. Hello, Simon. Is there any reason that you may be aware of as to why sleeplessness or sleeping disorders like insomnia are on the rise? Do we visit the lives of our other selves in parallel universes? Could negative entities or AI be interfering to cause this kind of disruption if this were the case? Light, love and blessings to you both and JP, especially for the enlightenment of work for you that you give.
Thank you. Thank you for the support. unfortunately, it's quite a lot to do with frequencies being used while people are sleeping in order to give people controlled dreams or give them messages that they will try and enact during the day. you know, there was quite a big thing with the early research in the late Victorian, I think it was around about the time of the First World War, where they worked out that moonlight and the full moon had a profound effect on some people, and that a lot of instances of sleepwalking, for instance, occurred on the times of a full moon. And if you got a very thick, heavy curtains, that reduced it. But what we are seeing, and the questioner, I believe, is exactly accurate, we're seeing a lot of people having disturbed sleep or waking up and feeling that something isn't quite right. And I know for a fact that it's not psychic attack, it's more like a machine, it's an energy type of machine that is being used, which rides in on those brain waves when we're sleeping and can influence the mind. Now, it's only the conscious mind, interestingly enough, because your self-conscious or your higher self will detect that something's not right. So there is a, I use the word loosely, there's a war going on this planet for the hearts and minds of people. And one of the ways, of course, to do that is to get people when they're sleeping to try and influence them with these waves. So yes, there is a lot of it happening. It is increasing. And if somebody feels that they are being attacked like that, then they need to seek a bit of help.
Thank you. So, next question is from Christian 92 Romania. Hello, Simon. If Source created everything, then what or who created Source? How can it come into existence out of nothingness? Good question. One of these self, recursive questions.
Right.
Because, you know, who created the thing that created the thing that created the thing?
Well, I think for as long as I can remember on this planet and this lifetime, even as a 5 or 6 year old, the question of who made God or what was there before nothing. And it's a question that I think man and woman has been asking on this planet for a very long time. And I think that's the way it should be, because the overall divine creator will always be different from us, will always have something that we don't have to that extent. And we can't know everything. Maybe pure consciousness can create itself. Maybe something is so important that it is so locked in with the concept of time or the creational force or the role it has to play that it just happens, because it has to happen, because if it doesn't, there is no life. There is no method to evolve, to look back on your life, to learn from mistakes and to go forward. So there had to be something like that. I don't know whether, you know, you could say, well, there was another creator on top of that one and another creator on top of that. I just think that consciousness makes a decision to do something. And when it's not there, that's because the way we would measure it, we wouldn't understand it, but it doesn't mean it wasn't there. It could well have been there, but in a different form. It wasn't so obvious. So that's my best guess, and it will always be a guess, because I'll never rub shoes or take tea with something as powerful and as great as that. And I think it's right that we really don't have the answer.
Thank you. So, right. Okay. From Flora. Good day. Espion Simon says, JB. So, question for Simon. You have mentioned to avoid the trap of going to the light when our body spirit leaves this world, to turn around and go the other way. To date, I have not heard anyone else mention this. Why do others not warn us of the trap that keeps us returning to the manipulating powers and energies that exist here? That being said, with all the changes happening, is this no longer a concern? Thank you in advance. And thank you for all you're doing.
Well, thank you. Is the person from Australia? Because they said good day.
Yeah, Flora, don't know, BMTS.com, don't know.
Mm. Okay. Just a little observation, my dear Watson. Well, I'm not the only person. I'm sure there are other people who, through wherever they're getting their information from, will have hit upon that and done their best to take the truth out there. Because when you have something that's truth like that, lots of people will get it. The question is whether people feel confident enough or strong enough to go out there and share that piece of truth. Unfortunately, it's still a trap. It's still operating, although it's reduced in its operation. It's like the grid. The grid is still there. I don't care if people say to me the grid's gone. No, it hasn't. But there are holes in it. There are big holes in that grid. The light is probably working intermittently, but it's still a soul trap. If you think that that the establishment wish to maintain the status quo, therefore, it's in their interest to make sure that big players like Walt Disney, Warner Brothers, try to mix in within their children's stories or their adult stories some form of a death scene or a near-death scene where there's a shining light and then somebody like an angel comes through and then guides you into the promised land. And that's been something that's been hit through time and time again because it's part of mind control. It's if you get somebody in their physical body to accept something, then they create that with their own reality. So when their physical body does stop working and their soul is ready to leave and find another body, it's already been half programmed to accept this guiding spirit that's arrived to take them onto the promised land. But of course it isn't. It's a program on a computer like the Matrix, and it is just running its program. It just collects souls, takes them up to the trap, and then goes back and gets the next one. So to answer your question, I'm not the only person to have given this warning, but lots of people don't like, quite understandably, and we've had something tonight, and we've had it on Thursday night, to explain why very few people are prepared to go out and, you know, say things, because there is always a reaction to that, you know, and you have to balance that off. But yes, it's still operating. We haven't won yet. Thank you for your question.
From Druid Star in Ireland. Simon, would it be possible that we are going through 4D at present? There seem to be a lot of suicide, especially here in Ireland. I don't want to sound insensitive, but could this be down to the 4D frequency and vibrations and people not being able to deal with the new vibrations? B.S., I've been trying to get a Skype session. He's really busy. Emojis all the time. Okay. So, yeah. So, two questions. One, do you want to first cover the maintenance question of getting the session with Simon? Obviously, you just like, you must be manically busy right now. Like, loads of things and not having much time to do sessions.
I think the thing is that I've always, perhaps not very successfully, I've always tried to look at what was the most important. Not what's most important for me, but I came to this planet to do a job. Many of us did. Some of us are better at doing it than others. My job is to get the information out and to survive and to do what I can. So I love helping people on a one-to-one basis, but sometimes that has to take a back seat because I need to get the message out to a large number of people, sometimes very quickly. I get the most awful attacks on websites. And people sometimes will do radio shows and say that I'm talking nonsense or rubbish. And I'm not lying to anyone if I say that we were within 4 days of World War III. We were within 4 days of World War III, and then all the energies changed. Now, I knew we weren't going to have a world war, but the fact is there are people out there who are hell-bent on pushing a certain agenda. So when that sort of spikes up, then, you know, I am somewhat taken up with that. Well, I am really sorry that you haven't had a chance to have a Skype with me. All I can say to you is I have given the email address out on the radio show in the past. If you would like to email again, and I will do my very best to pick that up. So, right, that's the housekeeping question. I've completely forgotten what the other question was now. Help me out.
Right, I know. That's why I let you sort of address that, and then we'll go back to it. That's fine. And he's talking about the going through 4D and the lot of suicides.
Okay, right. That was a good question, actually.
These are good questions, and you know, I know you can only handle one thing at a time. I know, because I'm the same.
I'm a man.
Yes, we're men. You know, we only do these one thing. Let's focus on this thing, and then focus on the next thing.
Right, I appreciate you doing that, because you know, sometimes people ask me 5 or 6 questions rolled up into one, and then my eyes just go up to the ceiling. And they learn.
It is a dyslexic thing, apparently.
It is, absolutely. I just can't do that.
My son apparently has got the spelling dyslexia. I can spell brilliantly. In fact, I'm better at spelling than most people. The thing about remembering a list of things to do, my ex-wife used to bark all these, you know, go and get this, 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 and this. And like, I'd come back with the last thing. And like, what did you say the first thing? So I really relate to that.
I do want to get onto the question, yeah. But I'll say something funny. there are people who know me very well, and they'll say to me, "Oh, what time did you get to the shops today, or what time did you do this?" And I'll say, "Oh, I got 2:30, and they'll say, "Well, how did you manage that? It's only 12 noon now." So I have no concept of time, as many people have, and I don't know whether that's just because I'm what I am or because of the dyslexia. Right, but it's a great source of amusement for many people. And it's a bit frustrating for me. Right,
it's probably a little endearing, and it's like,
I don't know endearing. I remember once I used to work for local authorities, and not as a politician, but as an officer, and I am as a manager. And people would say to me, "Have you got the file for Mr. X or Mr. Y?" Now, in my brain, I would say, "Yes, it's in the filing cabinet over by the door." But somewhere between me accessing the answer, "Yes, it's in the filing cabinet over by the door," it would come out as, "Oh, it's in the wardrobe." That's a closet for our American friends. "Oh, it's in the wardrobe." So I get mixed up, where I'll go and vacuum clean the grass, when I mean I'm going to mow the grass. It's stuff like that which is annoying. Here's the answer to the question. There are an increase in suicides at the moment. There's also an increase in what the doctors would call mental health. It's not. It's to do with a splitting and a choice. Many, many people on this planet are having to make a choice. They don't understand, those who are not aware and awake. They don't understand that their soul is trying to force the issue to make a choice. Excuse me. But what is happening is that as we, as the planet energetically advances, could use the word evolve, as it moves towards its desired position, so its goal is to take as many of its people, its creatures that live on the surface of the planet with it. Now, if you have a consciousness and the ability to know right from wrong, then you are going to have to make a choice. If you're a domestic cat or a domestic dog, you are not tasked with having to make a decision for right or wrong. You will still evolve, but you are not being tested in the same way. So we need to look at human beings and understand that for many people who are like ourselves and like the listeners to our show, are deeply frustrated and upset because they live one principle life, and yet the rules and the laws of the society around them is totally different from them. And many people actually sadly take their own life, not because they're necessarily because their boyfriends left them or their girlfriends left them, but they just have a sense of hopelessness that they just cannot connect with the world around them. And that's dreadful, and that's because society is wrong and we need to change it. There are people who have what a doctor would call mental issues, but I think that the increasing stress and strain of seeing the truth of the world around us and the lies that we're on, and for many people who feel trapped and imprisoned and don't know, how to get out of it or where to turn. However, the final point is the one that the questioner is asking. I know for a fact that those people who are psychic, spiritual, are getting glimpses of another dimension. Some people have seen more than one dimension. And if your energy body is moving towards that way, but your consciousness is not accepting it, or is lagging behind, then you are in effect dividing yourself between the world of the other dimension and yours. The fourth dimension contains more bad guys than good guys. But this planet and the rules and the laws around it were modeled on the fourth dimension. And that's because many of the negative ruling elite were based in the fourth dimension. So they conspired to create a network of fourth dimensional energy, which we call rules and laws and ceremony and ritual. And that energy now is beginning to come under huge pressure, not just from outside, but from the human desire to break free. we don't need to stay in the fourth dimension. This planet will move through the fourth relatively quickly into the fifth. We don't need to learn. We don't need to learn from the fourth dimension, because our planet here, although technically third dimensional, the rules and the laws are fourth dimension, and we've already experienced them and hopefully learnt from them and rejected many of them. So we've got nothing to gain from hopping into the fourth, staying there a million years or so, and then hopping to the fifth. I don't believe we will miss out the fourth and go to the fifth, as many people in the New Age say. I suppose I'm fairly pedantic and quite particular. We will move through the fourth, and indeed we are beginning to do so now. So we will traverse the fourth dimension, but we won't stop, because we have no need to stop. Are people having experiences with fourth dimensional entities now? Much more than they were, yes. Because the barrier between our world and the fourth dimension is wafer thin now. The bewitching hour was never midnight. The bewitching hour was always 2:30 in the morning, because at 2:30 in the morning, our time, that's in Britain, the barrier between the third and the fourth dimension is at its thinnest. Well, now we're actually breaking through that membrane, that bubble. And so people are experiencing a lot of conflicting energies. So the questioner is absolutely correct. Thank you for your question.
And a great answer. Very good. No, that's a question about somebody else. I want to try and avoid questions about somebody else's stuff. What do you think of somebody else's stuff? So I'm not going to say it. Right, so stop asking it. Right. Here you go. This is from Claudia. Dear Simon and PJ, for a few times now, I've encountered these entities that look like men in black, but are not human at all. They have this awkward mouth that they can open, and it reminds me of the movie Alien. What are they, and how do you protect yourself from them?
Right. I think you've hit the nail on the head. Not with the alien. There are two sorts of men in black, but can I just put the record straight, because it's such a bloody sexist society we live in. There are women in black, and I've seemed to be about the only person, but you know, there are not many of us who have actually seen women in black. And why is it that we would just assume that they would only have males? The term men in black is a term given, I think, may go right back to the 1950s. I'm not sure on that. That's not the term I know them as. The term that they have, their official term, they have an official term, is enforcement. They are enforcers. So that is their title. There are two sorts of enforcers. There's a human, or a human stroke hybrid, who is incredibly psychic and with very gifted. And then there's the completely non-human type, who is totally alien. And the best way to describe this individual, the alien one, would be too big for his uniform. In other words, there was this Michelin man, the advert for the guy who, you know, selling tires back in the 60s and 70s, or maybe earlier. But it's, if you can imagine a big, fat person with clothes on that are too tight and looks ridiculous. These alien creatures are, and I still don't understand why they use them, but they seem to be immune to most forms of attack, so perhaps that's why they use them. So they tend to be more like a zombie type character. The ones that we're, or many targeted individuals are familiar with, or contactees who have seen things, these are human stroke human hybrids. And the reason they wear sunglasses is not because they don't want to be identified. It's because they are psychic. If the glasses come off, then you would see that their eyes were not reptilian. They'd have human eyes, but they would have the ability to hypnotize you. And they don't want people to have an idea of what their power is. So the reason they wear sunglasses generally is because they have the power with the hybrids, it's because their eyes are very almond shape, and again, they don't want people to see that they're different. The traditional 1950s, 60s clothes that these creatures wear, or these people wear, it is an in-joke. You know, it's an in-joke. It's their uniform. That's what they do. They were created and started to become active around the time of the 1950s. We're talking about Eisenhower and many other presidents who were playing a game with the aliens, trying to buy time so that technology could be back-engineered so that the human race would have some form of defense. And so there was an arrangement and agreements made between the American government, and the men in black were part of that agreement. So they would come into the military base, they would follow certain peoples. If you are, if you believe you are being followed by certain vehicles or these people, your targeted individual, I've just said to the other guy, send me an email and I'll go through it. If you'd like to send me an email, and then I'll go through and try and pick that one up, because I don't particularly like the actions of the men in black. The women in black dress exactly like the men. They have what the Americans would call black pants, black shoes, a tight black top. They're all quite thin. They're not stick-like, but they're quite slim. Their hair, actually, interestingly enough, is either blonde or black, the ones I've seen. They do wear sunglasses, and they sometimes wear little leather, what look like leather, little jackets, black jackets, sometimes buttoned up, sometimes not. So they have their own uniform, and it makes perfect sense to have feminine energy in the enforcement role. So I hope that's a good answer for you.
Thanks very much, Simon. Right, okay, now there's a question from Paul. This is a serious question. He has many gay friends and family. They say they were born gay, and I disagree. I think a soul, through life experiences, chooses the life path that it wishes. My question is, are souls created already gay, or do they not get affected by their surroundings and choose to be gay that way? Or does it not have anything to do with the soul? I hope your vacation served you well, Simon. You deserve a longer one, if you ask me. Lots of love.
Well, that's a really kind thing, and without being arrogant, yes, I do deserve a holiday, simply because I haven't, apart from that holiday, I just genuinely haven't had holidays. Mm. And, you know, it's like even when I'm on holiday, the phone is ringing and I can't not answer it, because you never know what it might be. It's a profound question. It's not unlike the question about source. I'll do my very best to answer it without being arrogant or trying to presume, or unintentionally offending or upsetting anybody. All I can give you is what I know, so I'm afraid it won't be very much. When a soul is created by source, or God, divine creator, it chooses normally to be male or female. That's the way it is. And let us say, I'll give you a real example here. A male soul in a male body goes to one of the planets. If you're looking from Earth and you're looking to what we would call Sirius, and what my American friends would call Sirius. I know no astronomer is going to agree with me, but do you know what? I really don't care. If you stand on Earth and you look, it's actually drawn out. The left-hand side of Sirius, or Sirius, is divine feminine energy. The right hand side is masculine energy, and as you move towards the center of Sirius or Cyrus, it becomes balanced. Well, if you incarnate in, you're a male soul, shall we say, and you incarnate in a male body, and you go to the female part of Sirius, and you're there for a long time, you are coming under huge pressure, because you have a male soul in a female energy environment. Now, what do you do? Do you stay like that? Or do you begin to become more feminine? So that's one aspect. The other aspect is where somebody comes to a male-dominated planet, like Earth, and arrives with a mission. Doesn't matter what that mission is, they arrive with a mission. But let's say that they are feminine. They suddenly realize, oh no, I'm on a male planet. And they die after time and they reincarnate back, and that goes on as it does for most of us. And they find that if they'd been in a male body, they would have got this job done in 20 years. But because they're in a female body, they may have a male soul or a female body, they are being discriminated against by the local natives, because the local natives have made laws and rules which favour the male, overtly looking male. So what we often get is a soul of one gender that's incarnated in a physical body of another gender in order to get its agenda through, its mission. But in so doing, the conscious mind becomes to change. And so whether this is a gay or not, it depends on the way that that soul, in the combination with that brain, decides who that person is and what they, you know, what they want. So that's one aspect. It's probably not the only aspect, but that's the one I'm aware of, and I meet people of that disposition, and lovely people. And the important thing is that they've got to be confident and happy in what they've chosen to be. This is the key, because, you know, people who are male and say, I wish I was a female, or females who wish they were males, and then they go for these operations to change the body. That's a wish that, you know, they didn't go down the traditional medical route, because there is a really deep soul answer for this. So that's all I can give you, because these questions can probably only be answered by Source, and I don't think, JP, you're going to be able to get Source on your radio show just yet.
We're doing our best, actually. You know, we got you know, Zeus and Odin. That's not doing too bad.
We're working your way up.
We're working our way up. You know, Shiva should. You know, maybe we get Shiva next year, and well, we'll see. Right. Okay, Deborah. Long question. I saw a YouTube view at the Amatch startup in May 2011, where you said to humans, this is not your Earth, it never was and it never will be.
Yep.
You said that ETs can't survive in this dimension for very long, but they can survive in a hybrid body.
Yep.
You continued by saying the human race has got to evolve, develop and move on, and then you addressed the YouTube listening audience and made a plea to what you called the shepherds, those whose job it will be to help humans evolve, saying, get them off the planet, get them off, move them off quickly, because you're holding up the agenda.
Yep.
Could you please explain this?
Yep.
Saying, if ETs have to breed with humans to be able to survive here, doesn't that indicate that this is our home planet? What agenda are you referring to here? Why are you saying that all the humans must get off the planet?
Hang on.
Yeah. So, let's start with, can you please explain what you mean by get them, who's them, and who is doing the getting, and what the getting is. Yeah.
First of all, I think that I'm really happy to take the questions. And I think that's marvellous that somebody has watched and remembered an early show. And I think that just shows how far I've advanced. I think that shows how far spiritually I've come without hopefully not falling down the trap that so many people who set themselves up as, you know, going to do this or going to do that, and they end up, you know, like a firework, they sort of shoot up, get everyone's attention, and then after about 6 months they just sort of implode and fall back to earth. Right, the shepherds, maybe at that time I didn't want to be a shepherd. Maybe I wanted someone else to do the hard work. I was sort of saying to them, you know, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. But I didn't really want to do it myself. What I mean by shepherd is somebody who's prepared to put their head out and say, okay, this is who I am. This is, you know, what I am. And we've got to try and wake up as a species. We've got to try to support each other and realize we're being tricked and, conned. So a shepherd is any person, could be someone who does Reiki, could be someone who does, spiritual healing of some sort, could be anybody like that who comes into connection with somebody and then helps that person. Because when you're moving them off the planet, what you're doing is you're moving them into the fifth dimension. So I didn't mean let's land a flying saucer and we'll all get in the flying saucer and get off the planet. I'm referring to let's move out of this third dimensional reality, let's get through the fourth and get into the fifth. So that's what I mean. Now then, the big question here, the interesting question is, I think I use the term something like, it's not your planet. Well, you know what? Technically, that's accurate. Because the planet was here before humans arrived. And there were intelligent species on this planet before humans came here. One of them was the interesting djinn creatures. It's a shock for most people to learn that they actually were here before humans arrived, and they were dispossessed of this planet by human consciousness. And there are other creatures who actually went underground. Now, what's occurred is that of the experiment on the surface of the planet Earth, the humans became the most closely connected with the planet's consciousness. And a bond, a covenant almost, was created between human beings and the planet. So there were celebrations on behalf of the planet. There were things that were done for the planet. It was recognized. Gaia, the consciousness of the female energy, was thanked. And that hasn't broken. The planet remembers that for a very long time, technologically primitive but spiritually advanced humans on this planet could commune with the consciousness of the planet directly. And the planet fell in love, and I mean this in a pure way, the planet fell in love with the human race and said, this is the group on my back that has come the furthest, has the greatest potential, and I will take these living creatures with me in advancement. So technically, the planet is not that of the human race, but it has squatter's rights. Now that's a fun term, but the reality is that the planet accepted humanity and said, you are going to be the group that I take with me. You are the ones that have the choice as to whether you come with me or you don't. But the offer is there, and no matter how much these evil people damage the Earth and damage the living creatures, thank goodness that the real consciousness of the feminine Earth has not forgotten that strong bond that was created between the human consciousness and the planet. And that's why it's so important to go out and put your hand on a tree or on a rock, or to compliment the Earth or thank the Earth, because you are reminding the consciousness of the planet that we are together and that we do want to stay together and be as one. So, right, let's bring this right round then. I think that early interview shows, hopefully, fingers crossed, how I have learnt myself, because we're all on a journey and goodness knows I'm not above anybody else, and I have learnt what my role was, who I was, and I had to make a choice. Did I think I was totally alien? Did I think I was part alien? Or did I think I was human? Well, I think I'm part human and part something else. But my choice is to be with humanity. So when you look, or anyone takes the time to look at my interviews, they will see a progression, I hope, from a fairly a distant standpoint into one that embraces humanity and the love for humanity. So I'm really happy to talk about it, because it for me it's a positive move, but I am technically accurate. The planet was not given to the humans. The humans came here by accident, and then the planet said, do you know what? You're really nice people, stay. So that's my answer.
That, I've never heard that before, and that makes so much more sense. And when we talk about the chosen race, that's who we're talking about, the whole of humanity, isn't it?
Not just the Jews.
Yes.
Not just the Jews. I can say that because I'm a Jew, so before anybody gets on their high horse, I can say those sort of words. It's not the Jews who are the chosen race, it is humanity. But only if humanity will say, right, let's give it a go. Let's give it a go. Right, so we have one more question before a cup of tea.
Yes, it's time for the tea. Okay, now, I love this lady's name, Elaine Kubiak. Dear Simon, thank you for your courageous work and kindness. So happy you are back and well. Could you comment, please, on 300-foot wave that is expected as a result of the nearness of Nibiru? Also, how can one rule out a psychic All right, hang on a second. Several questions, right, okay.
Right. Let's do the first one, eh?
300-foot wave expected as a result of the nearness of Nibiru. Oh, I can't speak tonight. I'm just going to stum.
Right. Right, let's not go down this road. Let's not create it. Let's not create a bit of a ripple in a bathtub that's going to do what have you. I do accept Planet X and I do accept Nibiru. But what I also accept is at the moment there is an object, which is at some distance, but it is basically stationary. And I believe what will happen is that, through the movement, natural movement of the Earth, when this object starts up again, its trajectory will be such that it will have a minimal impact on the oceans. So there will be, excuse me, there will be some disruption, but I don't believe it'll be the end of the world. Will there be a tidal wave? excuse me. Will there be a tidal wave? Yes, there will. There will be something, but it is not the end of the world. And I'm always get somewhat concerned when YouTube video after YouTube video talks about Planet X on Nibiru and then how, you know, all of America's going to be wiped out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So no, yes, there is Nibiru, there is Planet X, but it is being stalled, and that's the right word, I think, and its passage across the galaxy will not impact anything like the way people are talking. We have much more to fear from a neutron, low-yield nuclear bomb detonated on the seabed off the Canary Isles to create a tidal wave. I'm far more concerned about crazy humans creating a false flag and swamping parts of America with that. That's much more my concern.
So, the second part of Kitty Elaine's question is, I think, much more important, personal. How can one rule out, which I mean, how can one rule out a psychic implant impeding healing? I have a left foot surgery in 2007 that has gone very bad, and constant pain when walking. Efforts to heal it have seemed to come to a block. So is there a psychic implant that is holding that healing back?
Right, well, I can't answer that because, somebody, a healer would have to see the individual. Well, there are some people that don't. Some people can do it at a long distance. I tend to have the visual. It is possible. Psychic blocks are given generally after an attack has been made, or if you're predicting the future, you put the block in and then you make the attack. So somebody who's being attacked will have their immune system somehow reduced, or a energy implant will somehow affect the instructions from the brain that would go to the body to order a good self-defense. So that individual, our questioner, needs to go to a psychic healer to have her body scanned, not just the foot actually, you need your whole body scanned, to see what's in there. And what you please try to understand is that if you did have something like that, it wouldn't be the only one. And sometimes these things are interconnected. So there may be like three or four devices which all support each other. And you do need to go to someone who knows what they're doing, because they have to be taken out in a sequence. And the way they have to be taken out is very important as well. So it is possible, but I can't do any more just like this.
Okay, that is going past you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've never known. the audience tonight knows something is going on. That's, I'm really glad that, you know, that they can hear it. It's right outside the bloody door. I mean, I've never known it like this. It's, yeah, we get the odd police car and ambulance, but this is a town of 12,000 people. 12,000. That's tiny. But the incidents that's occurred tonight are right outside the back door, 30 feet from the back door, straight in a line. That's really bizarre. And the number of emergency vehicles flying up and down. But no helicopters yet. I'm very disappointed.
All right. Well, maybe you should switch on your Merkabah.
How about I switch on the kettle?
Yeah. Let's do that. Listen, do you remember Genesis? Did you ever hear Genesis?
I was a little bit too young, when the earth and the world was created.
Ah. The one with, Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Go on then.
Your own special way. I love this track.
Okay. See you.
And welcome back to Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parks, with your producer and interviewer, JP. How are you doing? Did you enjoy that? I love that song.
Yes, I thought it was nice.
I had a Genesis moment last week, and I couldn't stop listening to that and the 11th Earl of Mar, which I'll probably play after the show. So, here we go. There we are. Let's, now, meanwhile, from the Earth to the Moon. Yeah. Hello, Simon and JP, from Marco. Thank you for everything you're doing for mankind. William Rutledge, an Apollo 20 astronaut, filmed an ancient spaceship on the Moon and recorded images of an ancient female pilot. Was that a hoax or an actual event? Thank you.
Right, I haven't seen any images on that. A number of astronauts, privately with their own camera equipment, have filmed, craft or structures on the Moon. Many, many unmanned, unwomaned craft have taken those pictures as well. And some of them, of course, have made it onto the internet where the sensors have failed to pick them up. So I don't know. In that particular story, you couldn't help but see what's there. If you genuinely went to the Moon, you would see enough on top of the surface to let you know that there was something big under the surface. So here on this planet, we have blast doors and structures which we know lead down into many, many layers of an underground base, and that's no different. For heaven's sake, you know, we've got bases on the Moon and on Mars, which have the name Adam and Eve, to celebrate the fact that in the Bible, Adam and Eve left the promised land, and incorrectly the Bible talks about just the one man and the one woman, when there were many hundreds of human people who left, and one group followed Eve, and one group followed Adam, and it was done like that so that if Adam failed or Eve failed, then there was a 50-50 chance one of the other groups would make it and survive. As it happened, both groups made it. And so that is understood and known, and that's why there's one base on the Moon and one base on the Mars called Adam and Eve. So if you were to take pictures of that, I can imagine most agencies or organizations would come down on you like a ton of bricks, because that is concrete evidence that there is life outside of this planet, and it's irrefutable. So that sort of stuff is not going to be shown on YouTube. Something that does come up is a lot of faked stuff, or something good comes up is taken down very quickly. Interestingly enough, while we're on the subject of astronauts, and I sometimes get names mixed up, but I did write on a very well-known blog site that I'd had a conversation with an astronaut, and unfortunately I got his name wrong, excuse me, and somebody who obviously likes to belittle the information that I give out said, you know, Simon Parks is obviously making things up. You know, you couldn't have a Skype with an astronaut, as I said I'd done. and not remember his name. It's such an important, important thing, you'd remember it. Yes, it is important. But as I wrote back, actually I've Skyped with six astronauts, and sometimes I get them mixed up. So, of course, this person then came back and said, oh, rubbish, rubbish. But fortunately, I was able to say, well, if you go to Alfred Levermont Weber's site, you'll actually see that I did indeed have a Skype with Edgar Mitchell, astronaut, who sadly, of course, just recently passed away. And, you know, I mentioned the show on September the 17th at Birmingham that I'm going to be doing. I've actually got a signed photograph of Edgar Mitchell and some other interesting memorabilia, which I was very, very graciously accepted from astronauts who I've had the privilege to meet and talk to. So I'm going to take those along. There's no harm in doing that. So if anybody's coming along to the show on the 17th of September, ask me and I'll show you the bits and pieces. So I have the greatest respect for astronauts. Regardless of whether they went to the moon when they said they did, they have been up in a rocket and they've been round outside of the Earth's atmosphere. I willingly, in this body and this consciousness, I couldn't do that. So I'm sorry I have no more information on that, but thank you for writing in.
Yeah, apparently she's known as Mona Lisa, and she's a kind of, she's Asian looking and a giant. And there's this very long, it's like, you know, many kilometers long, and very ornately decorated. It has like all these different kind of, it's like a pattern on it.
Right. But it's I'm familiar with the other one that's sort of sitting on, as if it's sitting on a chair, with like if it's resting on its knees. But this one that's been described, I have no knowledge of.
It looked like somebody in stasis. It had, you know, it wasn't like a dead thing. As I said, it looked like you could say like, imagine that the Japanese were descended from some, much larger race. This would, you know, this looked like a progenitor of that sort of thing. I think Wynne said it was a Pleiadian ship. I can't remember. Anyway. But we have a question from Isha, who's age six in Sussex, who says, Simon, who made planet Earth? Very good question.
Right, well, I think this must be the youngest person who's ever asked me a question.
She's a big fan.
Well, I'm assuming that it's genuine, and this really is a young lady, 6 years old.
Oh yes, it's she's the daughter of one of your CC crew.
Okay, right, fine. This is the third question, interestingly enough, and this is how energy works, isn't it? The third question that really sort of aimed at source. Earth is a water world, and water worlds, that's the alien term for them, water worlds are highly prized and incredibly rare. And I was watching a film with a friend not too long ago, which showed an explosion over Mars, and the question was left, in fact it was called Ice Age 4, and the question at the very end of the film was, well, where did all the water on Mars go? And some of the water from that stripping off of Mars' atmosphere came here. So we were already created as a world predominantly with water prior to 250 million years ago. The universe is balanced. You can't just have spheres or lumps of rock that are barren floating around. You don't get any chance of evolution and life. So what you have to do is you have to create microcosms, and you create a water world or a world that can have life, and you surround it with planets that have the potential to develop or grow and maybe spring forth their own life at some point. So Earth was created as part of the divine plan, part of the overall consciousness. Every multiverse has a verse, and within the verse are universes, and just like we have two suns, we have this visible sun that we see, but we have a dark sun. There's always a binary star system into every galaxy. And so we were always slated to be a life in this part of the multiverse. So we're not unique, but we're damn rare. This is the most unusual planet. But what's made it more unusual is that other alien races have brought life here to us. So there are many things on this planet that would not have evolved naturally, but have been either brought here full stop, or have been artificially created and mixed with other things, so it's part Earth-like and part not. Who made the planet? Source. The same thing that breathes life into everything. The consciousness of creation, of experience and of love. So that's what made the planet Earth. Thank you for your really lovely question. Thank you.
From Paul. Hi Simon, I would like to know exactly what is under Antarctica, as I have read that it used to be situated near the equator before tectonic plate shifts and cataclysm put it where it is situated today. Many thanks, Paul from CC.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you for being in CC. Goodness knows we need as many members as we can as we move towards a very interesting time. Certainly it's moved. In fact, there are old, to my knowledge, there are old maps maybe of 500, 600 years ago, which were copied from ancient Greek maps, which were themselves copied from maps probably around 10,000, 12,000 years ago, which shows part of Antarctica not covered in ice. So there's a solid land surface. If you wish to hide something, then having a covering of ice is very handy. If you have a low level of technology that stops you because you don't have the ability to get through the ice and to survive underground. But if you have a reasonably high level of technology, that isn't a problem and you use it as a shield. When Lemuria and Atlantis finally... The politics and the diplomacy no longer could hold it together, and they had a fisticuffs, just making light of a very desperately sad situation. When that occurred, some of the survivors from Lemuria and Atlantis realized that they were one people, one consciousness, and that ego, the seek of greed, the seek of power, had basically destroyed two almost unique civilizations, and those people decided that they would take themselves away from humanity, and the best thing to do would be to go underground. You have a number of leaders ever since, and I think the most famous would be Adolf Hitler, who either gained information from old documents or more likely from his own experience with greys and reptilians, realized that there was a society based under there than he certainly wanted to be involved in. People often ask me, if Hitler made contact with this group, why didn't he flee there? And the answer sometimes I give surprises people. The reason that Hitler was not given access to an underground base, because I've never accepted Hitler died in the bunker, the reason he never disappeared off to an underground base was because had he been allowed to do so, then the United States would have come after him. Because he would have had at his disposal the means to control the world. But by fleeing to South America with a ton of money, but no army and no military machine at his disposal, he actually wasn't a threat to the United States. If he had gone to Antarctica, to where much of his advanced equipment had gone to, then he or somebody following on from him would have endangered the balance. We also need to understand that some of the societies that we call Hollow Earth or Agarthan wouldn't touch Hitler with a barge pole. So they weren't going to have him. Because if Hitler had the choice, he would have gone to one of those bases. So what is under there? It is a range of different groups who have all come together to form one consciousness, one rule, which until very recently was, forget the people on the surface, they're only going to destroy themselves, it's not our concern. That's changed now. It's very much a case of, we learnt a lesson in Lemuria and Atlantis, we should share that with our brothers and sisters on the surface, and we should go up onto the surface and try to influence them so that never again do they bring about a cataclysm. So that's my answer. It's a nice question. Thank you.
Very good. Very good. To chakra. Chakra system. Is the chakra system changing? Should we have our chakras systems expunged to allow for a new connection with source? There is a school of thought that believes that chakras are not necessary and are holding us back even.
Well, I have to be very careful here. If I have a television and I have an aerial or a satellite dish, I can receive messages from or television programs from where I'm supposed to. But it means I can also receive messages from somewhere I didn't think of. Someone could beam a message into my aerial or my dish and try to upload information into me. Chakras work as they're supposed to in a sequence, but the one at the crown, or the forehead, whatever you want to call it, is your connection to source. Now, I would say to people, if you look at the first, how we get messages through television, the very first instance of a Doctor Who film with the creatures that I always refer to as the Cybermen, and these were really, really, the costumes are really cheap and tinny, but it doesn't matter. That plays into the beauty of it, because this was something made in about 1966. But if you actually look at the storyboard, these creatures have like a disc on their head. It's nothing more than just a bicycle lamp, but it was in the story written that they received radio waves from Mondas, which was their home planet. And they received them through this dish that was attached to their heads. And that's what sort of gave them the hive mind coordination. Now, the way the chakras are laid out means that we are connected to source and we can receive and send. But that doesn't stop something negative attempting also to transmit on that frequency to try to get it. Because humans were interfered with, and the energy was separated from the physical, it means that much of what should be connected within us is just slightly outside of us. So I don't want to remove anything. I want us to rejoin. I want the strands of DNA, I want the chakras all to really connect closely and to work that are not impeded by anything. And that's what Wi-Fi is about, I believe. Wi-Fi, you think, is designed to interfere with the way our natural energy creations are supposed to communicate with ourselves. I don't think anything is for a good purpose when it's created by people whose own goal is to control humanity, because the chakras allow the advancement of the spiritual and the non-spiritual. In other words, you can spiritually evolve, and that will bring your physical body with you. So, no, I don't think it's, we write off the chakras. I think we have to protect them, and we have to bring them to be closer to the working body. So that's my answer.
Okay, question now from Aslim Pasha. Anu Allah Yahweh. Hello, Simon and Jay. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the wonderful energies you introduced to our planet through your shows and conversations. My question is, Anu, Allah, and Yahweh the same being? And if so, is there any other being in our culture the same being? Love and gratitude, Aslim.
My phone's going like mad today.
It is, it's singing away.
Yeah, I think it's because people are concerned for me. It's really lovely that, there are so many people out there who really, are worried. It's fine. I'm okay. The difficulty we have is that many technologically advanced races have landed here and rather like the idea of humans bowing down to them and treating them like gods. A really well-evolved being won't do that. A really evolved being will say, don't bow down to me, I'm not a god, I'm just more technologically advanced than you. But of course, unfortunately, many of these creatures rather like the idea of that. And so we've had, over many continents, sometimes the same god, in their eyes, of course, moving from one continent to another, setting up their own culture, which is usually a sacrificial type culture. However, the question isn't quite like that. The question is asking about religious figures who are worshipped by many millions of people, and asking if they're the same, possibly the same one. Not necessarily, no. When you get a ruling family of negative types, then one will seek to choose a human group and say, this is going to be the human group I'm going to work with. I haven't got the time or the patience to work with all these groups, so I'm going to choose one group. Let's look at the Jewish group. So one group, the Jewish race, was very, very wedded to a particular being, and they considered they had a very special relationship, and they still do. But so did the Zulus. They had a very special relationship. So did the Hopi tribe. There are many, many groups that believe that they have a unique connection to something from the stars. The difficulty is when we see the same type of cult reappearing in different places at different times in the human time frame. I've had some very interesting conversations with quite senior people in religious organizations. And in one particular organization, they let it be known to me, they knew quite well that the being that the audience or the parishioners believed to be God in this particular religious group, they knew it was an alien. They knew it was off planet. They knew it was not human at all. This particular being was an alien, and they were recruiting for this particular group. So they were absolutely clear about it. But if the management of this organization contained maybe 1,000 people, mainly only 3 or 4 knew the truth. And what we find time and time again in religious organizations is that the vast majority of people join a religious organization because they passionately believe in God. They passionately believe in good against evil. They want to do good. And even when they see the supposedly holy men committing the most horrible crimes, they seem unpowered or disempowered to be able to do anything about it. They just sort of shrug their shoulders. I can't understand anybody in a big, big religious organization when priest after priest or whoever it might be commits the most horrible crimes against children, why the audience who go to church every Sunday and put money in a pot, why they don't stop doing it. You know, if I'd had the reports, and they've all been true, you see them on the mainstream news, that this priest and that priest has been done for abusing children. Well, the best way to change an organization is to stop giving it money. So why don't they just go to church, do their prayers, and then when the tin comes around to put money in, they don't put it around, they put a little note in there saying, tell you what, we'll start giving you money when you clean up your act. See, this is why people don't like me, because I don't stand shouting or screaming nonsense. I actually give people some really good ideas. Some really good ideas that are non-violent, but can bring about the changes. I often say to people, you know, I wonder how old age pensioners, senior citizens, how they can afford to live. Well, if we really cared, if 5,000 people, and that's nothing in a big city like London, if 5,000 people went and sat around the entrance to a big supermarket, we won't mention the supermarket, it doesn't matter, a supermarket, 5,000 people sat there and prevented anybody going in, and said, on Friday, let let old age pensioners or senior citizens have half price on staple things like cheese, milk, etc., etc. Do you know what? Within 3 days, they'd do it. Because the population would be using its power, non-violent, its power to make change. And I have to say to people that at the moment on this planet, you don't obtain change through the ballot box. You don't. It's a complete and utter con. But you do obtain change when you use the power of yourself. So when one person stands outside a shop and says, these shoes you've sold me, they're rubbish, doesn't do anything. But if 10 people stand outside the shop, that owner of that shop comes out and says, I'll give you a free pair of shoes. Now, I know it shouldn't be like that because we should all be treated as equal and fair, but that's not the world we're in. So I don't have much time for religion. I've got plenty of time for God. So that's my answer.
Excellent. Now, there's a question about Shungite, and maybe I'll ask Walt that question. Because how is your, let's just say, how is your Shungite experience so far, Simon?
Shungified is a word that doesn't exist, but it takes the word that I feel and makes it reality, simply because you and other kind people, realizing that I was slowly being baked to death by the elite who decided to stick a BT, yes, British Telecom, mobile phone mast, cell phone mast, and I've measured it exactly 100 feet from my house, 100 feet. And been bathing me in the waves, and some really nice people, including yourself, JP, thank you, out of the kindness of your hearts, sent me some Shungite, which I've put round, and so I did some rose quartz and things like that. And also, actually, the love and the kind thoughts of people, I think combined to keep me safe. It's a very up and down, but you know, I'm okay. And acts of kindness go a long way. It's like people who donate. You know, I don't have a 9-to-5 job. I don't have a job. My job is doing this. So anybody who is kind, I'm sure it has a beneficial effect. And you were a really big helper there, JP. Thank you.
Well, indeed, there's kindness all around, and I'd like to say thank you to all the people who donate to my particular little site, even though they're all down at the moment, but I'm getting help, getting my sites back up. So, anyhow, here's a question from Tom. If Soros, Kissinger, the Bushes, and Rothschilds are all supporting Hillary, who does this leave in Trump's camp? It seems that just about all of the media and known power figures are opposed to a Trump presidency. Mm. Or is this just a bait and switch?
No, you're absolutely correct. Well done. You've absolutely hit the nail on the head. All of the new money, the human interface, that means the politicians, the multimedia, they're all supporting Hillary Clinton. Because they believe there's more money to be got out of people. If you were a big film studio, the last thing you want is the end. Because what will you do? How will you make films? You've always made films. You've always made money. You've got shareholders, stock and bond people. They want to make money. So Hillary Clinton represents the status quo. We keep it going along. Yes, it's very shaky and it's wobbly, but we still keep it going. So those people who control the media in Capitol Hill in America, the politicians, the middle ground within business and the top end of business, they actually want Hillary Clinton because she represents for them the best chance to keep control of the human race, keep taking the money off people and keep themselves in power. Now you have got, on the other hand, a group of people from the technological corporations who foresee a very big opportunity if Mr. Trump was to be president, You also have arms of the military who for decades have been wanting to turn on their political masters. If you have a so-called democracy, the military publicly have to take orders from the politicians. That's the deal. So some of them are sick of it. So it is the top end of the technological corporations, what we call the industrial military complex, and some of the military guys who are supporting Trump. The difficulty, from my perspective, is that we have some of the satanic arm of the Illuminati who are also supporting Trump because they want to take it, as they see it, to the natural conclusion, which is a good reduction from their perspective, a good reduction of the human population. So we have a dividing split between those who wish to see the world stay as it is and those that wish to push the button and to create something unusual. I talked about Hillary Clinton, and I said that this is probably what caused me some aggravation. I really don't care. Yes, Hillary Clinton has a clone. Maybe she has more than I don't know, but there's a clone that I'm aware of. But in order to make it work, Hillary would have to agree to have her soul taken out of her body and placed into the clone. That's the only way clones work really well. But Hillary is many things, but she's not stupid. And she knows if she did that, then they would kill her as much as blink an eye, because they wouldn't need her anymore. So she has not agreed to have her soul removed from her body to go into the clone. So here we have a woman who's running for president and hasn't got a friend in the world, because the very people who are funding her campaign and supporting her campaign would like her to be replaced with a clone, because then you can manipulate the clone and the clone will go on forever. So no wonder Hillary is in the terrible physical and mental state that she's in, never mind about the fact that the draconis part of her is breaking down. She's got no future. So she's basically just counting down the days. So we have a situation where a presidential candidate hardly leaves the office now. He's doing all her campaigning from her office. And we have another man who is hell-bent, and I'm using the word deliberately, hell-bent on overturning Capitol Hill and the rule of the politicians. So this is the nearest incredible, it is, as far as I'm concerned, the most important election in America for 50 years. Yeah.
Okay, from America, just down the spine, Latin America, to Grace. Grace has been waiting all, she's so pleased. It's the first time she can listen to the radio show live, so it's a great honor for her. And she say thanks to JP for giving the link. And all the members of the group I created to give my knowledge, your knowledge and teachings, say a big thank you, Simon. So that's just the preamble from Grace. So this is her question. Now, she's in Latin America, and she's saying, regarding your last updated videos, I perfectly understand your concern about Europe and America, but in Argentina, we have abductions and chemtrails as well. Please, could you give a message to us, and which is the role Argentina plays in this game? Thank you, Simon. Love and blessings to you.
Well, Grace, first of all, it's a great honor for me when anybody listens to the show and then goes and does their own research. So, you know, it cuts both ways. I've always tried, I really have tried not to be too Anglophobic. I beg your pardon, Anglocentric. The difficulty is that the battle for this planet is going to be won or lost, and it's going to be won, isn't it? But it's a figure of speech. In America, Britain and Germany, that does not mean that there isn't anything else going on in other countries or continents. And I've never, hopefully, ever given the impression that I'm not interested or don't care. But you, in Argentina, you've had your own share of very interesting material, because, without going down a huge subject rabbit hole here, the black goo. One of the key locations for the black goo was off Argentina, and that was one of the major reasons for the war between Great Britain and Argentina. In actual fact, what a lot of people not perhaps aware of is that just after the war concluded, and obviously no, Britain technically won the war, a group of Special Boat Squadron, SBS, and SAS landed and blew up an underground facility, or at least put it accurately, they sealed off a facility where black goo was being manipulated. So, you know, Argentina is actually and has played a very key place. And if you look at your history now, it's kicking off again, as we say. Argentina is now again asking for independence from Britain in a way it hasn't done for the last maybe 10 or 15 years. Chemtrailing. I was one of the few people that didn't jump on the bandwagon some, I don't know, a year ago now. It was all over the internet that chemtrailing had finished. It was all over. And I said, no, it isn't. It's greatly reduced, but it isn't over. And, you know, it's right. It's not over. In fact, it's built up again. And many countries where consciousness has begun to outstrip the ability of the controlling element through their technology to keep humans down, that's when they've increased chemtrailing. So if you're seeing a great deal of chemtrails over your town or your city, it is because the elite fear they're losing the consciousness battle for that particular group. So yes, in one way, it's awful that you're seeing these chemtrails over your part of the world, but look on it the other way. The elite are doing their figures and working out that they're losing control of that. So you're asking about Argentina. Argentina has a tremendously great history. I've talked a little bit about Adolf Hitler. You know, one of the amazing things, of course, was some of the Perón's property was built of gold bricks, literally gold bricks plastered. And in one situation where they were knocking through to make a kitchen extension, they literally found gold blocks making the wall. So Argentina is a key place. It has a very mixture of energy. Some of it is quite special. Think about some of the jungle coverings and some of the interesting pyramids and temples that are under there. But there's also some very heavy negative stuff. Your main concern, I think, should be to look across to your neighbours. I know South America is a huge country, but Venezuela, where you have situations in Venezuela now where shopkeepers are being ordered at gunpoint to sell food to the public at a cheaper price than they paid for it. Well, we're still in a 3D economic world, and of course that's not going to work. Venezuela is near to the point of collapse. It really is. So many countries in South America are looking at how they can detach from the United States of America because they've seen what the prior drop in oil has done. Obviously, if you have a particular president that doesn't run an economy very well and is corrupt, that's going to have a serious impact. So please, Grace, when I talk about the big three countries, it doesn't mean I've taken my eye off the ball at all. It means that at this time in the Earth's history, this is where things are playing out that affect all of humanity. It doesn't mean that I am turning my back on communities that are being chemtrailed, fried, beaten, lied to. I understand that. And, you know, you just please have to believe me that I love and care for people in countries that I don't mention. So thank you very much indeed for writing in.
Yay, that's from Grace there. So where is that window? You know, everybody's calling me today. Everybody's coming in. I don't know how many calls I've just had to click no, go away during this show. It's like, They've all come out the woodwork. So anyway, I hope everybody's doing fine. Let's have another look at the school board here. I had to do a special search because I was being slightly, how can I put this, encouraged by Fran and Brett and Becky to ask Grace's question, and I've completely lost my place. But there was this There was a very interesting question, and it was the next one. It was basically, if I can find it, and it was about Satanism and how Satanism is a is being, you know, is like, how do we know what is a Satanist, number one, and how do we know that we're not doing Satanist things in our daily lives? And I you know, I think that this is a question I've covered in my radio shows years ago. It was called The Externalization of Satanic Ritual, with Katie Galanti. A few years ago we did it. And it's basically like all of these, you know, really almost pornographic videos you get with music.
Right.
That sort
okay.
of...
So, right, okay.
Yeah, go
so,
ahead. So,
right. Okay, that's okay. So, is this Grace's question?
No, no, the Argentina question was Grace's
right,
question.
Well,
so this is... This
so
is,
I've answered Grace's question.
You have answered Grace's question.
That's yeah. okay. Right, fine. The point about Satanism is that it is a word we use which has no substance, shape or form in the fifth dimension or higher. I talked earlier about the rules and the laws of this planet being formed on fourth dimensional energy. In other words, the rules and the laws that we give names to here don't have those names in the fourth dimension, but they have the energy feeling. If you were to drink some beer or you were to lick some salt, you would get a feeling or a sensation or a flavor or a smell. You put a name to that. And that is the way it is with satanic energy. It has no name, but it has this label, or it has this particular feeling to it. So when we do something on this planet, if we do it from divine source, there'll be no satanic link to it. If we do something because we are picking up how we've been brought up from a child, or how we've been influenced by television or by the rules and the laws, or if we are mind controlled by electronic devices or by black magicians, we can, as a consciousness, be moved slightly towards what you'd call the satanic line. So we talked earlier about South America. Well, if you think about the sacrifice cult of the Aztecs, that is satanic. So they wouldn't have called it that. They probably wouldn't have had the word for it. They saw it as offering the life of a child or a person to appease their gods. Well, that's so mind-controlled, it's mind-boggling, that you would kill a living creature to appease somebody. You know, in the Bible, and I'm not very good with the Bible, unfortunately, but was it Jacob who was asked to kill his son to show he loved God? And then he lifted the knife and he was just about to kill his child, and God said, no, that's all right, I just wanted to test you to see how much you loved me. Well, in the American, that's BS, that's bullshit, isn't it? Because no God, real God, would actually test a person and say, nearly kill your child so that I can see how much you love me, because a real God would know how much you loved that person. So we now understand what satanic force is. Satanic force is something that says, I'm better than you, I'm more powerful than you, but if you join my club and you wear these black robes and you do what I tell you, I'll give you power over other people. And that's what Satanism is. It's a evil, nasty trickery that draws people in, and to an extent that they feel they can't escape, and creates a cult. So do we do things that are satanic on this planet? Yes, we do. But do we do overt things? Not if we successfully fight through it. In other words, if somebody came to any member of the listeners to this radio show and said, you know, I want you to do something that was obviously satanic, you would say no. But if someone said, I tell you what, I'll give you $1 million if you do something, then, you know, the person who isn't committed to truth and light would say, oh, $1 million, oh, yeah, I'll do that. So Satanism isn't just about watching a Hammer horror film at 11 o'clock at night and seeing some horrible, scary things. It's energy that's connected and deliberately connected to humanity on this planet. And that's why it's so important for humanity to evolve, to change, and to raise its frequency, because this negative, dense, satanic energy can be left behind. If you think of a jug of water, and you know that if you put some things on the water, like a cork floats, but if you put a piece of metal, obviously it sinks. Well, if you can imagine that Satanism is a piece of metal, and you've got humanity as a cork, but the cork's got a magnet stuck on it. And so this heavy piece of metal, which should fall to the bottom of your tub of water, doesn't, because it's been pulled towards this tiny piece of metal that's in humanity. So if we can raise our frequency and we can rise up, what will happen is that connection between my allegorical piece of metal and the magnet on the cork will go. And basically, the satanic energy will fall downwards because it's got nothing to grip onto. So, unfortunately, the media push it, the entertainment industry push it. Anything that is about money, corruption, control of people will have satanic energy intermeshed into it. The church, as far as I'm concerned, many of the churches, I can't say all of them, many of the churches also do. Any structure that has influence over people has been nobbled, as we say in Great Britain. You know, if I want to control a people, I control everything that makes a decision if I can, from the government right down to what films are put on television, because I want to keep my message the same. And so we can only rely on the human spirit to detect this, to turn its back on it, and to evolve. So it's a really good question. It's a question that goes to the heart of whether humanity wants to be free, or whether it wants to be like Hillary Clinton and, you know, steady as she goes, and we'll carry on. We've had enough of that. It's time we were free. That's a good question. Thank you.
Agreed. Now, this is from Aurora. Hello, Simon. Welcome back. I hope your holiday was restorative. I have a baffling relationship with dogs. I owned them when I was a child, but I feel that when a dog approaches me now, say when I'm walking in the park, I really feel an inner sort of terror. After the dog leaves, I sometimes find myself in tears. This feels like bizarre and embarrassing behavior. You have mentioned how you own cats because you have a positive connection with them. Can we also have a negative connection with some animals, even those that are known as man's best friend?
Hello, Aurora. Very difficult without having, and of course we can't on the radio show, have more understanding of what your relationship was as a child and how it changed. Putting aside a more mundane or 3D reason for this, there is a possibility. Many, many people only get back their full memories or learn who they are as they approach about the between the 40th and the 60th year of their life on this planet. It's a key period in time, because what happens is that you become strong enough to remember what you'd forgotten, or to accept some of the really challenging visions or thoughts, and you know, you're ready to evolve and change. Now, if you'd had a association with what we call the Canis or Canis type of alien, which is a dog-like human creature, you could go through life where, while that was blanked from your mind, you just treated a dog like you would normally. But then if that subconscious memory breaks through, or parts of it break through, or a nagging feeling breaks through, every time you are faced with something like that, it could put you into shock. And then you have this opposite reaction where you cry, because it's almost a relief, but it could also be sadness. Now, I need to give you some evidence, because that, for many people, sounds crazy. people who have experienced greys, alien greys, and have had negative experiences with mantis or mantid, even those who've had a good experience, in when they're back in the 3D world, are terrified of wasps. Because wasps have very large eyes. I know wasps sting you, but wasps have very large eyes in proportion to their body. They have a strange-shaped body. Time and time again, people who've had experience with either the insectoid races or some alien grey races have a great aversion to wasps. But if you put them and show them a bee, that don't have the same reaction, but both sting, although I know that a wasp is more aggressive and will sting you more than a bee. But nevertheless, there is a possibility, if we could remove any sort of 3D ones. So that's my answer to you. Thank you for writing in.
Yeah, interesting about the wasp. I've got a wasp nest in my, just on the other side of the door of my conservatory, and it's a, I'm thinking, shall I be aggressive towards it? No, I want to work with it and see it. And so far, nobody's been stung, and they just get on with what they do. So, yeah.
So well, I had a wasp nest in my shed, in my allotment shed, and I left it there until they moved on. And then I bought, for the next year, I bought one of those pretend wasp nests. Mm-hmm. And hung that up, and that I haven't been troubled since, because when a wasp's nest is detected, then no other wasp will come there. So no, I just tend to leave things alone if I can.
Right. So, final question, and this is the eyes habit. Simon, you mentioned green eyes. This is from Daya. Simon, you have mentioned green eyes, brown eyes, and blue eyes have particular meanings. Even two eyes of a different color have a specific meaning. What about hazel eyes? Do they mean anything?
Well, I think the thing I would say is that it isn't source that gives credence or hierarchy. It's humans who create a system of power and strength. So, you know, you have a police force and you have ranks, or in the military you have ranks. And so elites on this planet have tried to identify individuals and grade them. You know, it's like having a tattoo mark, you know, sort of saying what you are. But they needed it to be secret, because they didn't want everyone to know their secret. See, if everybody knows that if you've got green eyes, it means at some point in one of your manifestations, you have been in a physical body that's been part of the controlling force. Then it means that you were at one time in the elite. So a modern day elite person, a Mr. Rothschild, or let's just call him happy old Jacob, wouldn't really want the world knowing that, because they would like to identify those people and try and bring them in. And I, when I talk to people on the radio shows or conferences or one-to-ones, I always give this analogy, and I'll give it again, because it's damned accurate. If I'm in a very large corporation, a corporation that's run by the top man, it's usually a man, isn't it? Elite. And he wants a secretary. And he's got, you know, a massive empire. So he could advertise, or he could say, let's look who we've got in our organization who would like to be my secretary. Well, it depends what he wants. If he wants a very pretty girl to be pretty, then he'll choose a girl who's got blonde hair. And blue eyes.
There's merit to blonde eyes and blue hair.
Yes.
But meanwhile...
But he wouldn't be doing that. He would want somebody to answer the telephone and take his messages. So he would recruit a female. That's if he's straight or bisexual, he would want a female, because we're talking about the elite on the planet, who had black hair or red hair and green eyes. Predominantly he would like red hair with green eyes, because that in his upbringing is his ideal not partner in terms of life partner, but partner in business with a female. So if you're going, if you're an elite person and you're going to abuse somebody, then usually it's a blonde-haired and blue-eyed girl. Think about all the media, the entertainment industry. Why do you think they've pushed blonde hair and blue eyes? Why have they done that? It wasn't that the human race thought that girls with blue eyes and blonde hair were the prettiest. It was because the people who were satanic, in the satanic arm of the Illuminati, pushed that as their image. And you just think of our young lady skipping along the yellow brick road to see the Wizard of Oz. But if we then look at characters who have got brown eyes and black hair, that actually is considered quite important as well. The green eyes and the red hair is a ancient connection on this planet going right back in time. Green eyes and black hair is not so far back, and it's more, so complicated, and I'm just not doing well at explaining this. Red hair and green eyes is a magical energy connection. So if I'm talking about Avebury Ring, or I'm talking about the ley lines, then a female with red hair and green eyes personifies the connection to the planet Earth because of her ancestry, but because also she's been hooked into the power structure. Now, if you understand that, you go into an office, and I would really ask you to do this. I don't mean your local library, because that isn't going to work on the same way, but if we take a big company, a multinational company, start looking at where these people are, and look at the colour of their hair, and look at the colour of their eyes, and you begin to find out that actually those in decision-making jobs don't have blue eyes and blonde hair. Not when it's controlled by an organisation. And while we're on the subject, here in Whitby, we are on the verge of having one of the world's largest mines opening up. It's to dig polyhalite, which is a form of fertilizer. Now, it's a very interesting name for the company. The company is called Sirius. So that should set alarm bells ringing. And today, through a friend, because I have been so busy I haven't been looking, but through a friend, actually said they'd done some research and found that JP Morgan owns Sirius. Now, what's interesting here is JP Morgan... Why is somebody calling me on Skype? Someone's not listening to our radio show. How naughty is
tell
that?
Tell them to tune into the show.
Well, I know. Yeah. JP Morgan is investing in mines. He's the one who's buying gold mines in South America. He's obviously is in control of the Sirius mine, and that's interesting because Sirius is going to mine fertilizer. Now, if you control the world's largest production of fertilizer, you have control over food supplies. Because if you say in a post-apocalyptic world that's really down on its knees, and you say, well, actually, yes, I'm very happy to sell you the fertilizer to make your plants grow, but it's going to cost you four times what it did yesterday. So what we find is that people with a great deal of money and a connection to dark sides will invest in elements that allow them to manipulate or crowbar humans. So it's like, I can control you because I hold resource. I hold water, energy, food. If you've got that, you can actually start dictating to governments, and that's what these people do. So I was very concerned to learn that JP Morgan is the main holder of the world's largest fertilizer mine. So let's watch this space. And I think we're out of time. Listen, JP, it's been lovely to speak to you. I want you to have a lovely holiday. I want to thank everybody who has supported me. I couldn't do it without your support. You know, none of us could. Without the love, the support and the dedication of everyone out there, none of us, no matter what we do, whether we, we just heal one person a year or whether we heal 50 people a year. We couldn't do what we do. So it's a partnership. So I've had a week's holiday. Now you go and have a week's holiday.
Thank you. So I'm not going away quite yet, but it'll be it will be straddling the time when you're on the show. So until next month, Simon, have a great September. I'll see you on the other side of September, and we'll have some more Connection of Consciousness.
Well, it's my birthday on the 7th.
So it is. Oh, yes. Happy birthday for this week. That's right. 7th.
Thank you.
Good night, Simon.
Good night. Good night.